Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman.
Good morning, Montreal. How we feeling? All right. Welcome to the Comedy Pro Premium Podcast Series presented by Acast and this very special live recording of The Best Hang. Would you please welcome your hosts, Shane Cunningham, Mike Bierman, and Max Kerman.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you. Thank you. How's it going? How's everyone feeling right now? All right.
Fresher than you.
An early podcast for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you so much for coming. This is the Best Hang Podcast. It's a thrill to be here in Montreal. We love the Just for Last Festival. But off the top, I just want to talk about an incident from last night because we were very, very fortunate that Shane is still with us and alive. Yes. Some people in this room were at this infamous dinner, but we were. I'll just tell it from my perspective. So I'm sitting here. I got Max to my left. We got Sophia from Acast. They took us out for dinner, by the way. Acast, they're so kind, so we're big fans of them. And
Heather is also, so just for context, Acast is our distributor with the podcast. They're partners with the Best Hang Podcast, and we heard that they want to take us for dinner on the company card. And I actually asked Sophia, I was like, Sophia, who's paying for this? She's like, I'm not paying for this. It's like, do you think I'm paying for this on my salary? No. The company is paying for it. I was like, all right, another round, please.
So we will always show up for a free meal. That is a good lesson for us. But So I got Shane is one seat over and I'm talking to Heather. I'm explaining his story. And then Max starts going, yo. And I'm like, what? And I look over and Shane is he's standing up from the table.
And we're in a crowded, hip restaurant. It's like Cadet. It's around the corner.
It's bustling. It's like everybody's loud in this place, but he stands up and he's like, you can tell. And Shane's wife, Alex, is there. She stands up and now they're both up. And I'm like, holy shit. A guy from the table next to us stands up and grabs Shane like out of a movie and starts trying to do the Heimlich maneuver on Shane in this restaurant. So like, oh my goodness. After like 30 seconds of that, Alex is like, Shane's still, she's like, did it work? And he goes, so now you're in kind of this weird surreal thing where I'm like, is this going to happen? Is Shane going to drop dead right now at this dinner? Like we have a podcast in the morning. Another guy comes running in.
Papa Bear. Because the first guy was a younger guy. Like, yeah, yeah. Then Papa Bear.
His body type was kind of like Bob Saget, the first guy, like from like Full House. But the second guy who came through was
like Santa Claus or something.
He was like John Candy.
Yeah. He knew what to do. Yeah. He knew what to do. So boom. Boom, boom. Oh, and at this point, Ash, manager Ash, is like, we need to call somebody. Call somebody. And I think she leaves and I get on my phone. I call 911 and they call, they're like, hello. I'm like, we have a
bonjour.
Bonjour. I was like, I don't speak French.
Speak
just
English,
say fucking hello.
This is Montreal. Yeah,
I was like, we have a man choking. I leaned down to Sophia. I'm like, what's the restaurant called? I'm like, we're at Cadet or whatever. And then dude like frees up Shane and he's like, I'm like, okay, we're good. Bye-bye. Whatever. Hang up. And
au revoir, yeah.
Yeah. And then you were fine. And then we were like, did that just really happen? It was like this terrifying. Maybe
I was
like,
not fine.
Well, you were shaking.
I was humiliated. After someone saves your life, you honestly want to die. Like,
well,
like,
it was just
like, the other thing too. The restaurant had gone dead silent during the second. Like oh everything went quiet in the restaurant, and then the minute he let out this breath of life, everybody applauded in the restaurant.
It was so surreal. And from the lighting was just perfect that it kind of looked like a scene from a movie for me. And I've just been witnessing Shane as the star of the dessert. So the whole thing, all the extras in the scene were like, oh, this is just another sketch. It was so weird.
You looked so happy while it was going on. I remember looking over at Max and for some reason you had your phone out.
No, I wasn't filming. I was not filming.
You were like,
no, that's not true. That's true. No, but I didn't know how to act in the moment. It was my friend Dan recently choked on a big Harve at a Harvey's on the side of a highway recently. And his friend had to give him the high milk remover. This is like 3 weeks ago. And he said that nobody in the restaurant noticed. But he was in a Harvey's at a service station. But this was different because everybody was watching. The whole thing got really quiet. But it was... It was weird because, I didn't know exactly what to do because I looked over at Ash. She was on the phone. Alex, Shane's wife, was trying to coach him through the event. But for me, I was just like, you know, when you're at like a dinner party and you're talking a lot and then somebody else has the conch. And so it's like your chance to eat. To have like a bite of your own.
Did you take a fucking bite?
I was thinking about it. I didn't. And we had the same meal. We both had the beef tenderloin.
Well, this is.
So I was like, but in my mind, my brain was like, am I having a bite? I was like, no, I can't do that right now. And then of course, you know, Shane comes to and it's okay. And the funniest part though, is at the end. There are many funny parts, but at the end, like there starts like whispers from the server going like, did you know that somebody paid for his meal?
Oh, I hated those.
Yeah. Servers. And then I was like, who paid for the meal? She goes, oh, no, we cannot tell.
Oh, my goodness.
We cannot tell. And then I was like, just tell me. I want to get a photo with the person so I can talk about it on the pod tomorrow. And they're like, no. Secrecy. We cannot tell who paid the bill. And then I was like, oh, okay. They're just like, and also, we paid the man's bill who saved the life. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's great. But it was all very self-congratulatory.
How long working on this French accent, by the way?
they were not that nice to me at all like that.
Oh, really?
No, she comes up to me. Again, I'm humiliated, right? So my wife, Alex, walked up to the table and said, oh, thank you for saving my husband's life. Can I buy you a drink? She said, like, you think she'd buy the meal, but she's like, I'm rum and coke. But they were like, oh, no. And they didn't do it. But I didn't walk over to the table. I'm in shock and I'm embarrassed and I have my head down and I'm trying to pretend it didn't happen. So when the guy who saved my life, who's actually a doctor, he walked out, I was just like, give him a little wave. It was very weird. He's like, yeah, you're welcome or whatever. So he leaves. But the waitresses hated that I didn't go over to the table.
Oh.
And I found them to be very evil waitresses anyway.
Evil. That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sophia, right? Like she was at the meal. And she,
don't drag her into this. Now no, she says they're evil.
She's half French. And she was telling me that
she's the expert.
Like, I was like, are they mean or are they just like being French? And she's like, no, they're mean. Because when they even gave me the meal, they go, bon appetit. And they smile, right? And I go, Sophia, is that weird, that bon appetit? It seemed very evil.
Yeah.
Like she looked like Shoshana from Inglourious Basterds, but she was acting like, who's the Hans from Inglourious Basterds?
The Christoph Waltz?
Yeah, Christoph Waltz. So anyway, at the end of the meal, you think they would pay for like the death trap they gave me to eat, right? Because that was insanely hard to eat. But they're like, would you like to say thank you to the man who paid for your meal? Because you did not say thank you to the man who saved your life. And I'm like, oh, yes, thank you. And they're like, oh, right there. And like, it's like this 20-year-old nervous kid who paid for my meal.
He was very sweet.
Yeah, he was very sweet. But, you know, why wouldn't the restaurant cover that? Like pay for my meal.
Yeah. The best part was, or the funniest part, or I don't know how you describe it, is afterwards Shane definitely was, it was very Shane because we've known each other forever, but he was like, It was like he needed us to know that that meat was like unnaturally hard. He was like, the meat was very chewy. He's like, Alex took a bite. It's very hard. Alex
I had it. It was totally fine.
Yeah, she was like,
she hated me. I'm telling you, that woman didn't like me.
He claimed that the meat was the perfect size to get stuck in his throat. He was like, the meat was the perfect size to get lodged. It was very, very unique.
Alex, was that meat way too chewy? She almost choked.
You had the same meal.
I ate the beef just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you describe, though, in real time, what had happened?
Yeah, so we're playing Mary, Fuck, Kill at the table. It's like we're in between, like, it was Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, or Britney Spears.
Well, give us your list now that you said
that. No, I'm curious.
See, I was never into Britney Spears, even growing up.
Really? Like,
yeah, even in her heyday or whatever. So
sometimes I still think about having it. Anyway.
I feel like I could get along with Lindsay Lohan. So I'd marry her, and I would F up. Parasol. Anyway, we're playing that game. Alex goes to the washroom, and like you said, there's like a it was my moment to eat. There was like a little lull in the conversation, so I go to take a bite, but it's way too big of a bite. I'm like, oh fuck, this is happening. I'm kind of choking. I've never really choked before. I've got like a normal sized throat, so I don't choke a lot. Like I'm not a big choker. I'm like, oh no, I'm kind of pretending it doesn't. It's not happening. I'm just pretending, laughing it through. Alex comes, looks at me, sees a look of fear in my eyes. And she's like, are you choking? And I'm like, I can't talk, but I have enough air. I can still breathe. So I'm thinking, okay, I probably
Paris
have
Paris Hilton. I was Paris Hilton.
But I'm like, I probably have enough air to like, let's go to the ER. Let's not make a scene. I can still breathe enough. So I'm about to grab my phone to text like, let's leave and go to the- I can't talk. But Alex... she sticks her finger down my throat, which you're not supposed to do, and lodges it perfectly. Now it's like no air. And I'm like, oh, I probably still have like nose air. So I'm like, but like the nose air, I forget, is connected to your throat still. So you don't have nose air if you think you can't breathe through your nose. And then I needed the Bob Saget guy to come over immediately because you guys weren't doing anything. You were like frozen. Right?
I touched your shoulder. Yeah. I remember that. Like, I was like, if you're going to go on to the next world, I want you to know you're
yes, I remember that speech. That got me a little emotional. But the Bob Saget guy, too, he was like slapping my back, which you're not supposed to do. So I knew he didn't know what he was doing.
And he was with a date, though. Maybe he was trying to
impress
her.
He was with a date. He was. He was like mid-20s, like probably first date or whatever. And he couldn't really like pick me up. He wasn't that strong. He's feeling, I'm like, I'm going to die right now. This is the worst. But when John Candy came through, he started whipping me around like a rag doll. I'm like, this guy's going to save my life. And it just felt so cool. And you just look so happy. It did feel like a sketch.
Yeah. It's actually now that it's a sketch from, I think you should leave the latest season where he's at a dinner and he starts choking at a restaurant.
That's season one. Yeah.
It's season one. And then he has to go outside and get the Heimlich.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you're with us, Shane, and we're very happy to have you.
But I do feel bad. If the guy who saved me, who we're calling John Candy, is listening, I would actually like to talk to him and thank him and, you know, buy him a drink. Yes.
Well, Shane, you're with us. Thanks for being here, and we're happy to have you. Big round of applause for Shane. He lived
thank
through
you.
It, and we have him. So what we have a big show today. We have a huge guest, Curtis Connor, which is very exciting. We're going to get to him in a little bit. We're very excited to have him. Before that, what's going on? Like, tell us about the start of JFL. This is your very first JFL. Shane and I have done it in the past. You know, we've had Dana McBride on this podcast, we've had Jeff Ross, Natasha Leggero. But this is your first time. Give us your experience.
Yeah, I've been in Montreal plenty with the band, and we played Oshiega. We played MTELUS around the corner back last year. But you guys talked about how it's one big schmooze. And I sometimes, if I'm in the mood, love a schmooze, and sometimes I don't like a schmooze. But you were telling me how all these big dogs are just milling about in the lobby and you just like have a great time and you can stay up to like 4 a.m. People are just drinking and drinking and drinking. And I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, who's going to be here? And there's also a writer's strike happening right now in LA. So it's like, maybe some people aren't going to show up. But when we got picked up at the airport from the van service, I was sat next to Jay Farrow in the back of our of our van. And I'm a big Jay Farrow fan. You guys are familiar. SNL does lots of great impersonations. I think he's performing tonight. But I strategically put myself in the back because you were in the ride with me and Jillian and Bella were in the car as well. The co-stars of The Dessert, now streaming on Crave.
You're very good at like positioning yourself in a schmooze type situation.
I do think about, it's even at the dinner last night, I was like, where am I going to sit in the table so I have the most sort of room to operate?
Yeah, the furthest away from the choke. Well, the minute we come out of the airport, it's like, yeah, we're getting in like the car service and there's Jay. And it was like, oh, everything we've told, you know, like anyone who's a first timer just for laughs about how you get access to everybody. It's like, you could see anyone. It was kind of cool. That's like, oh, right away. There we go. There's Jay Farrow. And then Max, of course, sits right beside him in the Sprinter van. Mm-hmm. And we get off and you do this funny like mom thing. We're like, he's like, oh, Bella. Bella and Jill are here. They're on the sketch show, The Dessert. If you listen to the podcast, you know, we've talked a lot about it. But he's like, we get into the elevator at the hotel and we're coming up. And then Max is like, oh, Bella's like a big fan. Do you mind doing a photo with Jay?
I was my momager.
Yeah.
I was like the Ash of the situation. I felt very proud because I go over to Bella and Jillian. I'm like, Jillian, are you fans of Jay Farrow? Should we get a photo? And then Jillian looks at me and goes, I don't know who that is. And then Jillian's like, no. And then Bella's like, I love him. I was like, okay, Bella, come with me. And then he was very excited. But I did the thing where I was like, listen, Jay, she's going to be a big star. She's going to be on SNL one day. I swear to God. And then he started doing a Lauren Michaels impersonation. But he was nice. You guys had a nice chat, right, Bella? Nice.
Bella just, that's my move.
Bella just said, yeah, he asked her to do impersonation and she choked. But yeah, it's interesting though, just the whole song and dance of introducing yourself at these events, because this is a convention, this is a networking opportunity for a lot of people that are in the industry, and it's tough, and each social moment is a different dynamic depending on who you are. Are you the ass kisser, or is your ass being kissed in the moment? And with Jay, I was like, okay, what's my entry point here? And so we started talking.
You did your Obama impression, didn't you?
Yeah. Should I do it right now?
Let's hear it.
Do Obama in a French accent, actually. That would be
No, I'll save it for later. That would be good though. So we started talking about basketball. I told him that Tim Duncan's looking younger these days. Mm-hmm. This is very like niche hoops. I was like, no, he was like, he's got a cool haircut now. And he's like probably lost 20 pounds from his playing and he's still practicing with the Spurs. And so he looks like younger than he ever did. Yeah. And he's like, I don't believe you. I was like, no, I saw it on the internet the other day. He's like, let me see it. And then I was like, yeah, I can't really find it right now. He's like, let me see it. I was like, okay. And then I spent like 5 minutes looking for Tim Duncan practicing like in the summer league. I was like, and he's like, I don't believe you, man. I don't. He kept on calling me on the thing. And I was like, shit. But I finally found the clip. He's like, you're right. And then he shook my hand.
And that's how you schmooze.
Yeah. That's it. But I also do the thing where I'm like, okay, I need to let him know that I'm not just a nobody. I'm also a somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how do I get it in there?
Turn the radio on.
I was like, I'm not just another guy, you know? So it's like,
you were actually saying that out loud, just like this. Yeah. What is Max muttering?
Yeah, my head was against the window. I'm okay. How do I let Jay know that I'm not just a nobody. I'm a somebody. Okay. So I was like, yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Bruce McCullough, Kids in the Hall. He's an EP on the show that I'm an EP on. That's why I'm here. And then I was just like, Will Forte, I'm friends with Will Forte. And he's like, cool. And then he did not give one fuck. I was like, all right, that didn't really work. And then of course, it's like, you know, you want to have the proper amount of time with somebody. You want to leave on a high note. And I felt like I got out. Like I can start strong, but my endings aren't necessarily good. Like I'm good for the first like 5 to 7 minutes, but then it really falls off a cliff in these sort of moments. So I thought I got out at the right time, but then we were in the elevator after the check-in. So we all got to the hotel here. We check in, we go up to and I was like, oh, we're in the same elevator. Okay, I got to make another 25 seconds of like conversation here. Shit, 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 shit. And I was like, fuck, he's on my floor. Fuck, 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 fuck. And then I was like, do I ask for his phone number? And I opted not to ask for his phone number.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but should I
go
have?
For it?
Yeah, of course. You do that with everyone. Why not him?
Yeah, yeah. But he didn't know that I was not a nobody.
He didn't know you were a guy.
You're friends with Will Forte.
If I had gotten just a little bit, if you guys were, I need you guys to be pumping my tires a little bit more.
You need us to do what you did with Bella?
Yes, it's the circle of life here, guys. Yeah, like everybody needs to know where they can be helpful. So next time we're in that kind of situation, one of you can say, guys, remember when you played really late in the day on the main stage at Oshiega right here in Montreal?
Years ago, me and you were at a Raptors game. Mm-hmm. Years and years ago, we're sitting at a Raptors game and there was like a pretty girl in front of us. And she kind of turned around. You said something to her and she kind of turned around or whatever. And then she kind of stopped, but she wasn't interested. She didn't know you were a guy. And then I went out of my way to go, "Hey Max, when you played the arena, which side of the arena was yes, the stage?" And then your eyes just got real big and you're louder, louder. And then she was like, "Sorry, what was your name again?"
Yeah.
I have pumped you up before. I know the move.
Thank you. Yeah. So yeah, how was the rest of your night though? Because again, the other part about it is like it is very exhausting if you aren't in the mood. So you have to kind of pace yourself at these sort of conventions about like when you're going to put yourself out there, when you got to go back to your room to recharge. And around 12:30, I was so excited to get into bed. It was so hot in Montreal. It was like and very sort of like smog. I was like, I can't wait to get into the air conditioned room. And I was going to sneak out the back door, I guess it was the main door of the late night set. And I was with Ash, and I was like, "Ash, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Let's get the fuck out of here. Let's get the fuck here."
So aggressive.
Yeah. And then I opened the door, and I just see Mike Veerman, Justin Stockman, and a whole bunch of other people like walk through it. And I'm just go, "Fuck!" Like to myself. I was like, scream. And then Mike's like, "Hey, Maxie, how's it going?" He's like, "Oh, there's some big dogs from New Metric Media. We should go." Ah, blah, blah, blah.
I don't think that was my exact quote.
And then I was like, "All right, I'm going to bed." And then I just left.
You did. You got out of there.
So how's the rest of your night, though, Mike?
Oh, good. I wasn't like up till 3 a.m. with Justin Stockman. My voice always sounds like this at 11 a.m. It is hard, though, because it's like we got into town yesterday, and I have two small kids. So I was up at like 6 in the morning. And then as you're approaching 3, you're like, I've been up for almost 24 hours, you know, and it's just a lot. Like you said, it's not like you've been up for 24 hours just hanging out in the hotel. It's like you've been talking, engaging, watching somebody die and then come back to life. You know what I mean? Like Jay Farrow in a sprinter band. But yeah, so it's been exciting. But that's what JFL is all about, I think. How you feeling?
Good. This isn't a good story, but I went to bed at like 10:30.
Really?
Yeah. But I couldn't stop thinking about that waitress who was said the thing about like, "Oh, you didn't thank the man who saved your life." So I was like Joe Pesci muttering to myself like all night. I was like, "Stupid waitress, I'm in shock. What did she expect me to do?" I was like, "Oh my God." So I couldn't stop. I'm so fixated on that waitress. I actually want to go back to the restaurant.
What are you gonna say?
I don't know.
It is mad though.
He just orders the steak again.
Yeah,
yeah. Because
you eat it.
It really felt like the climax of the dinner. Mm-hmm. But then like we still had to hang out there for another like 45 minutes. So the whole thing was weird. It was just like, okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And you didn't know how to react or act with anybody.
No, I just sat down. I was like, "So Meryl Streep, Pam Anderson," and like yeah, no one picked Meryl Streep though. They wanted to kill her. Yeah.
Meryl got killed?
Yeah.
Seems well. Interesting.
She's too acty though. She's like, you know what I mean?
She's like kind of
Meryl Streep's too acty. That's what we're naming this podcast.
Yeah. Well, JFL is also all about stand-up comedy.
That's true.
Which is a very exciting thing. And you have done stand-up in the past. In fact, there's a whole feature film about it.
Oh, yes. Oh, we're doing this bit now.
We're segueing.
Okay. So I thought you were going to tell a little story first.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, it's an honor to be at JFL. I came here, I think, 10 years ago. I was shooting a movie with my friend Mark Myers.
Director of The Dessert and director of many Arkell's music videos.
Yes. And, you know, just walking around, we would see Robert Schmeigel, who was always an idol of mine. He was also the voice of Tramp the Insult Comic Dog. And, you know, I ended up hanging out with him for like 2 hours, just sitting around talking with him. We also filmed him for the documentary. And I was just like, holy shit, I want to come back here every year. But my goal was to one day be able to come back as a peer and not just as an excited fan. And now we're here today.
This is exciting.
As peers, kind of. We have a show coming up. I'm not sure if anyone's seen it, but it's out now on Crave called The Dessert.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Anyway, 1 second. This is awkward.
Okay. Yeah, but here's the movie. We actually made a real movie. It ended up going on Netflix, and it's filled with interviews that we did at JFL. We had Russell Peters, Mark Maron, like, forget who else we had on this. I think it's listed on the back. But anyway, we did a lot, and I did stand up for the first time in this documentary, and I actually did pretty well, I thought. Like, afterwards, is anyone familiar with the Munsters?
No, what is that? I don't know.
Do you know My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah.
You know, what is a ute? You know, the judge? His brother was at the show that I did the stand-up.
He's a real
very
pull.
Modern reference. He's talking about Fred Gwynne, the actor. Which
Fred
I'm sure
Gwynne,
everybody
the
knows
actor's
Fred
brother, saw me do stand-up. And he said, He's like, that was, he goes, I come to Yuck Yucks every week. I watch the new stand-ups. And he's like, you have something special. He's like, I really think you could make it. Your social commentary was so, he was using all these big words. And he was pumping me up so much. And I thought, well, one day I'm going to try again. But I never did because, you know, I was working on much music. I never thought I could actually break out into the comedy scene. But now that I'm in the comedy scene through the sketch show, I'm seriously considering doing stand-up again.
Hey!
10 years later, because this movie, over 10 years, because I think we shot this in...
I'm in favor of this.
So it's not really up to me whether I do this again. It's kind of up to you, because I'm going to try doing one of the jokes that I did on stage. Mind you, sorry, I'm getting a call. Oh, Amit's calling.
Just our
it's
boss.
It's our boss at work. Yeah. I forgot to book today off. But he'll never know. But anyway, yeah, it's up to you. I'm going to try this joke. You know, it's keep in mind, it's over 10 years old.
Is this going to age still, well?
Exactly.
So we're going to get some Shane Cunningham stand-up right now.
Just one joke. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You guys ready for some Shane stand-up?
Yeah.
It's exciting. Once every 10 years.
That's a great jacket.
Okay, Alex, could you move there? This cord doesn't... She's part of the bit. So, well, yeah, when I did this, I had just a girlfriend. It wasn't her, but we'll pretend it is. Hey, everyone. This is my first time doing stand-up. Girlfriend came to support me. She's got a nice little smile. She's got a nice little body. Thank you. Got nice little boobies, you know. That's actually what I like best about her. No, not the fact that she has little boobies, but the fact that she's comfortable having little boobies, you know. Girls can be so open about that sort of thing. The other day, she was at the mall, and her friend held up a shirt and said, "Hey, Alex, this would look great on you." And Alex turned and said, "With my little titties." If I had your huge tits. Now, I'm paraphrasing, by the way. I don't think she actually said titties, but that's the way I like to think she talks behind my back. And if, for example, like, I could never get away with that. Like, you know, if a guy like held up a pair of swim trunks and was like, "Hey, Shane, these trunks would look great on you." And I'd be like, "My little dickie. Maybe if I had your huge dick."
Thank you.
So, what do you think? You know, maybe it was a little blue, but I don't know.
I think it holds up.
It holds up 10 years later. Yeah.
Okay. Timeless comedy.
Yeah. So what was that, about 40 seconds? I just got to work out another, what? I guess you got to start with five? Yeah,
yeah, okay. No, it felt like an hour. Yeah. But we can't have Shane do stand-up.
Oh, right.
And leave Max out, because Max has this thing where he thinks he can do anything. He really he has the lead singer confidence. And so for this bit, what has happened is Max is going to try stand-up for the first time, not with something he has written,
no,
but with stand-up routine that Shane has written.
We talked about this last week. I was like, guys, do you think I could do stand-up? Maybe I have time to write like a 5-minute thing.
Yeah.
and then Ash looked at me. She's like, "We have no time for anything right now." Yes. And I was like, "Okay, I still want to do it." I was like, "Guys, because I'm good at delegating. That's my whole life, is just delegating work." I was like, "You guys write me something." And so I haven't actually seen the material yet.
No. Okay. And Mike and I thought we were going to work this bit out a lot more, but JFL is tricky. You always think you're going to have time. And then it's like, oh, there's a panel here, or a podcast. And oh, it's the midnight show and the 2 a.m. surprise. So we didn't have a ton of time to work this out. But I do think some of the stuff could work for you.
Okay. Yeah. And is it in my delivery?
The delivery matters.
Am I standing up? Am I working the stage?
Stand up.
Do I get to wear the cool jacket?
You can wear the jacket. Yeah. And I want you to be like, I don't know, confidence, kind of like Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy.
French Eddie Murphy. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. And it's on your written on your phone. And I haven't seen this at all, so we might have
to. Yeah, like confidence. Don't get hated. Might be spelling mistakes.
Here we go. Max Kerman doing stand-up for the very first
time. Montreal, how we doing? How we doing? Just got off the plane. It's good to be back here just for laughs. One of my favorite.
Don't ad lib.
Okay.
Just read it.
Okay. Don't you?
Sorry.
All right. This is like in a Gmail document. Okay. Don't you hate it when you're doing a corporate gig and they only pay you half up front? It's like, you think I'm going to run away? I'm on every other billboard in the city. But seriously, I guess you could say that I'm a pretty recognizable guy, which can get a little uncomfortable being in a band with four other people. I'm not saying that because the other guys aren't recognizable, but let's just say there's people that...
You could say it.
Let's just say... There's people in the witness protection program who get stopped on the street. Okay. All right. But seriously, our Kels have gotten pretty popular the last few years. Hold for a pause. Okay. We're kind of like the Beatles of Canada. I'm Paul McCartney and John Lennon, and the rest of the guys are. But seriously,
Ringo.
They're Ringo.
The rest of the guys are Ringo. That's
being able to entertain large audiences is a total money grab. I mean, joy. What?
Okay. Yeah. So it's like this was like half baked, but it was like, yeah. So entertaining large audiences is a total money grab. I mean, joy. Oh, yeah, that wasn't the best joke. So all right. Anyway,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Good job.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right. And now we're going to welcome out a real comedian, someone we are very excited to have, a friend of the pod. He appears in the Desserts, the sketch show. And last night we saw his show, which was, it was incredible how much his audience loves him. And we were very lucky to have him. We're going to invite out Curtis Connor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hi, everyone in the room gets a hug. How's it going? How you feeling? You can hold it. You can.
First time using one of these things. What?
Did you go out after your shows last night?
Yes.
Or where'd you go?
I went to, I tried to go to a bar and then it was closed. Or no, it wasn't closed. It was just boring. So I left. and then I went back to here.
And how did it feel? We were just talking backstage because I got to see the filming of your new special that will be out. Do we know when it will be out yet?
Do you? I don't know. I don't know yet. it'll be out at some point.
Year, probably.
Yeah. Sometime this year, yeah. In the next month or two, I don't know.
You were saying that you were nervous before the first show. And the second show, you really got into the groove.
Yeah.
Is that typical for you? Like to have nerves at a show like Just for Laughs?
Well, I wasn't too nervous for Just for Laughs. I feel like the special I was super nervous for because I had, I've done that set so many times, but I was like, I've never done it with like eight huge fucking cameras moving all over the place. And it's like, yeah, so that was like really intimidating. So I was like, I just need to like just do my thing. But it's so hard when there's like a fucking huge thing like on like a arm that's like in my face, and it takes like everything in my body not to be like to wave at the camera or something. So I have to act like they're not there. But no, the second show was definitely a lot better because I was like, I got whatever. I just got to just like worse, you know, I like have more fun and stuff and, you know, get a little more loose with it. But yeah. Definitely the most nervous I've ever been for a show was the first, the one that we taped. So,
and with the editing process, because learning about how specials are made, there's a lot you can do, because obviously the show is what it is, but describe the editing, like kind of how sharply you wanted everything to move along and
just
the creative vision for it.
Yeah, I mean... It's weird because I'm like, I'm so used to editing like my YouTube videos where it's just like pretty over the top for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I can't really do that with like a comedy special, getting like a fart sound effect or whatever. I mean, I could, but like, could be a trendsetter that way. But no, it's been like, obviously it's nice because I get to just like hand it off to like a real editor who knows what they're doing. So I don't have to fucking worry about it. But yeah, I just like, they pretty much fucking like nailed it on the first go. There was only like a couple things that we had to like swap out or like, just like edit like different angles and stuff. But no, they're like, that's a good thing with like working with like professionals who've done it like a bunch of times. They're like, here you go. I've done this like a million times. I know how to make shit look cool. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, it's been cool. It's been very cool to see it come together. And, whenever it comes out, you all better watch it. All right.
They sort of agreed. It's
okay.
Binding.
Yeah.
It's
like, okay.
You know, like I was saying, it was remarkable to see the way your audience sort of responded to your. I saw your set last night, and it was incredible to see how much they just sort of like love you and how much this thing has grown. And when I'm seeing someone on a stage like that sort of do that, I'm fascinated. Like to go back to the start. What inspired you initially? Like, what things were you into as a kid? Where you're like, man, I maybe want to get on a stage one day, or I want to be a forward facing performer. Like, what sparked it in you originally?
I don't know. Next question. No,
fuck, marry, kill.
Yeah, Britney kiss
Spears
or slap.
Meryl Streep.
I don't really know. It's so weird because I was like a super. I feel like this is pretty common for a lot of people like who perform. But I was like a super shy kid, and I like never wanted anyone to really like look at me ever. And that, like, public speaking and shit was always really, like, scary. But it wasn't until, like, I feel like high school drama class where I was, like, where I, like, found out where, like, I was, like, I was always, like, joking around with because, like, that's what you do if you're a human. But, like, if you, when I was, like, doing drama, I was, like, that's when I realized, like, oh, I can, like, just have, like, I can be, like, funny. And it, like, makes it a little easier and it's more fun to just kind of do that, I guess. But no, it's sort of, I kind of like fell into stand up too. It was like my friend just kind of like forced me to do it. Which was, it was actually like hardly even a friend. He was a regular at the Starbucks I worked at.
Which Starbucks?
It was a Starbucks on Queenston Road in Stony Creek.
What was his name?
Wow.
His name was Jareth or something.
Jareth is something. Responsible for all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out that guy.
What did he say to you?
What would you like to order?
Yeah. Yeah. He was coming every day, and he was like, just like a chill guy. And like, we would always joke around and stuff. And he was like, you're really funny. You ever do stand up? And I was like, no, I work here. This is what I do. And then, he just kind of like, he told me that there was like an open mic happening in like St. Catharines, which was like kind of close to Stony Creek. And then he just kind of forced me to, he like drove me there and shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. Could have been a murderer. Like, I feel like I put way
so
too much trust in this.
You got into the car with Jareth. He was like, oh, I'll pick you up at 7 and we'll drive down to St. Catharines.
Yeah.
And were you rehearsing at home? Like,
yeah, I had like a little set that I wrote. It was like probably like 3 minutes.
Do you remember with any of the first jokes?
Nah, we don't have to. We don't have to do that.
Was this before you were doing YouTube?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. This was before any video stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how old would you have been at this point with Jareth?
I was 19 when I did my
How old was Jareth?
I fucking don't know. I don't even know if he was real. I don't know. He might have been like a figment of my imagination.
No. Look at the spectrum with Jareth. Was he may have been a murderer or you'll become wildly successful.
Like, yeah.
You're betting on the two outcomes.
Yeah, so just take a chance on a random guy, I guess.
That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, cool shit can happen. Yeah. No, I think he was in like his mid-20s, I think. Yeah. He was like well like out of post-secondary and shit. He had like a job. It was fucking...
He's like a man.
You and Shane have that in common because Shane has stories of like befriending dudes that are much, much older than him and then making it part of your work. And
yeah, I met an old... he was 65 years old. 65-year-old okay, Dutchman. Yeah, I met him at a bus stop one day.
Oh my God.
And he offered to give me a ride and... yeah, I ended up working with him in short films. I needed somebody to play a police chief. And anyway, we ended up being best friends for many years. Yeah.
Yeah, if older men ask you if you need rides, then you should. That's the,
yeah, so yes. Taking the bus is annoying. Yeah.
That's the moral of both of our stories.
But yeah, I wanted to ask you about your growth, because obviously it's insane how popular you are now. And I'm myself, you know, I have a TV show that came out. I'm trying to get popular online.
Yeah.
I found like when our show came out, The Dessert on Crave, I thought, oh, my Instagram's just going to blow up. And I got about 125 more followers.
Let's go.
Like, is that good?
Yeah.
Like, and like, what's the keys to getting more maybe?
Okay. Yeah. I could see if there's a way to like send some of mine your way. Maybe that's a feature on Instagram where you'll
send me your videos and I'll put them on
No, I send you my follow. Like I just like copy and paste them over there.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
I feel like that's probably a new feature that they're working on.
But did you grow quickly or was it like nothing, nothing, nothing? And then you just exploded?
I started on Vine first, if you guys remember Vine.
Yeah. Short-lived.
And y'all fuck with Vine out there.
Powerful.
Yeah. That shit was awesome. But I started on there and I gained like a pretty like big following, I thought, and then it shut down. So I was like, okay, well that all went away. So I had to like kind of redo it from like YouTube. But yeah, it was definitely a grind. Like it took a while to figure out what like I really wanted to do. Cause it was like, I was doing sketches. I was doing like reactions. Like I was doing like a bunch of different stuff on YouTube. I didn't know what was going to work. And then I saw that my friends from Vine were like having success with like the commentary genre. So I was like, I'll try that as well. Mm. And then, so I just like copied what my friends were doing and then it worked out. I had one video that kind of just like, I guess the algorithm just like picked up for whatever reason. And then I went to bed, it had like 2,000 views and I woke up, it had like 600,000.
Wow.
And then, so that was crazy. And I was like, I had this little bit of momentum and I was like, I might as well just keep going with it and see what happens. And I was like, and that was when I was working at a fucking office job too. So I was like working all day and then coming home and editing and shit until like 2 a.m. and shit. It was like, it sucked. I don't know how I did that, but.
Well, you're very determined and like, you know, even with, so you're big on YouTube and then TikTok becomes a thing and you lean into that and you're very funny and your persona is very sort of chill and kind of approachable, but you have a good critical eye. But behind the scenes, you really do.
Thanks.
But I'm always curious.
Max's stand up.
Pardon?
What do you think of Max's stand up?
I could fucking hear. I had like my door to the, I had my ear to the door and I couldn't hear. So
I'll
I was
do
like,
it backstage for you.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
What is your like, I'm always curious to know someone, especially like you who is like an entrepreneur, you're a creative, what is your day-to-day work like temperament? Like, because you do put out a lot of work and you're doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, is Curtis this chill all the time? Or like, or does he get really stressed out in front of Jenna and his friends? Like, you
right.
know, like,
I'm a fucking psychopath every other time.
Yeah. No, but what kind of gets you stressed out? Or like, I'm kind of genuinely curious. Like, what makes you tick?
I guess you stressed out, I don't know, like the wage gap. Yeah.
I missed that last word. What was it?
The wage gap.
Okay.
That usually gets me pretty upset.
Just storming around the kitchen.
I'm just pulling my hair out all day about that shit.
How do we solve this?
It's like, fuck! Another day, it's still there.
I feel like I am pretty level-headed most of the time. I feel like even my wife Jenna even like calls me on it sometimes. It's like you're allowed to be like upset and like stressed and stuff. And mm-hmm. It's like you're allowed to like feel these emotions. But Yeah, it's like I feel like I'm pretty level-headed. I am a, if you're asking like what my work, I'm a very bad work. Like I'm not good at working. Like
oh, interesting.
Like I feel like I'll get stuff done because if I have to, but like I'm very bad at like sitting down and like just writing or like just sitting down and just like editing. Like I'll edit for like a bit and then I'll just like fuck off and play video games for like 4 hours or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm very bad at work. But I do enjoy it, but I suck at it. So, but yeah, but I'm pretty level-headed.
Interesting. Yeah. Because yeah, it seems to me good seems your output's now. Really good. And I was like, okay, what sort of you know parameters are you setting for the
Max is yeah, telling himself, I got to keep up with Curtis, man. Yeah, and now you're telling him you're just playing video games.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah, sorry.
That's the secret. That's
yeah, more video games.
Procrastination.
You got to get your KD up. Yeah.
How do you cultivate your stand-up routine? Because I noticed everyone loves you to a ridiculous extent. Like I've never seen an audience like that in my life last night. Every step is like, awesome step, Curtis. Hey, you roll, look good. Like everything was so, the audience was just so proactive, so engaged. So like, how do you cultivate your set? Do you go to a place where someone doesn't, where people don't know you to work on your set or?
Not really. I feel like I used to a lot and then, I don't know. We kind of got to the point where it's like, we don't really have to really do that anymore, which is nice. We can have like, it's me and my buddies, Jacob and Dean that tour with me. We do shows in Toronto where we just like, we'll just book out like this bar and then we'll just try out new shit for fans and stuff. And it's fun for them because they get to see stuff that, you know, might make it into like a real thing or maybe might not. But yeah, it's definitely, this hour that I just did, it's like, that was been like a, there's some stuff from like before COVID in there. And there's some stuff like that is newer, like about COVID in it. So it was definitely a long time coming for that, hour. But yeah, it's always weird too, to like, it always falls by the wayside when I'm like focusing on YouTube and shit. Cause that's such a big time constraint and like such a big focus for me. So it's hard to really like dedicate time to write stand up. But we just have to, I usually just leave it on like Jacob and Dean to like just book a show. And then they're like, okay, we have this, like, we're going to do new stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. Then I kind of have to do it. So yeah, it's definitely, it's tough, but I'm doing my best. Okay.
Yeah, you're juggling a lot. I'm curious because we got Jillian here and your former classmates.
Shout out Jillian.
Jillian, star of The Dessert. Well, you met at the Humber Comedy Program.
Yeah.
Can you describe what that, I've heard about people, is that what it's called? Writing, comedy?
It was like comedy, colon, writing and performance.
Okay. What do you learn at that kind of program? I asked sincerely because both of you are
because he's going to sign up.
Are so talented. Yeah. And yeah. And
yeah. What did we learn? I don't, I feel like, I feel like we learned how to hang out with each other. I made really good friends there. It's just, I'm glad I went. It's great. Shout out to Humber. They're really cool. It's just tough to like teach comedy, I guess. It's weird. Cause it's like, especially a lot of people went there like the year after like they're done high school. So there's like 18-year-old kids there and stuff. So it's just, and it's like picture like a room full, like a class full of like the annoying like class clowns you had in your fucking like 12th grade classes. So it's like a whole school of just that is like kind of a fucking nightmare. And like some of the teachers were like, well, okay, well, we don't have to talk about it. But yeah, I'm glad I went. I met some really great people and some lifelong friends. But yeah, I'll leave it there.
What do you got? What's coming up next? What do you, so the special's going to be coming out.
Have
you announced more
out.
Tour dates lately?
Pardon?
Are you any more tour dates?
No tour dates yet. Because once that special comes out, I have to write like a new hour.
Yeah, the hour's gone.
Yeah, the hour's fucking gone after that. So
do
I gotta,
you find that intimidating as you sort of think about it? Are you backburnering it or do you already have stuff you're working on?
I got a couple things I'm working on, but I probably have like maybe like 20 minutes of okay material right now. But like, it's I'm excited because on one hand, it's like I'm really like nervous because I'm like I'm already so confident with that hour. I've done it so many times. Yeah. It's like worked out. Like I'm really happy with it. But you know, at the same time, I'm excited to, you know, see what else is gonna come up in the new hour and stuff. But But yeah, the special's coming out maybe fucking soon. I don't know when. September, October, maybe. And then, yeah, after that, I'm just going to keep making videos, keep writing stuff, and then probably do a tour next
year. Are you a self-taught editor?
Yes.
Nice. That's cool.
I was going to ask, speaking of that hour that you've toured all over sort of, you know, the States and Canada, is there any difference you've noticed between the American audiences and the Canadian audiences?
And the Australian audiences.
And the okay, yeah, we were just in Australia. I mean, Australians are like insane.
Really?
Yeah, they're out of their fucking minds.
How so?
They all showed up in Joker cosplay. They're fucked. They're villains.
Like they show up dressed like Joker.
The Joker, yeah. No, not all of them, but no, sorry. None of them actually. But no, they're like, just like Australians are fucking like, they go after it. They fucking send it every night. It's pretty cool. They're like the most like rowdy crowds ever, I think. Americans are, I don't know, aren't they like usually fatter than Canadians? I don't know. probably larger than Canadian crowds. But. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
No, they're all very good. They're all very. I've been very like blessed. I feel like with like my crowds, they've all been like just so fucking. I mean, we've never had like a bad. I've never like left like a show being like, what the hell is that about? Like, we've been so like spoiled with our crowds. So yeah, I feel like not too much of a difference, really. But I mean, Canadians' crowds are obviously like the best because
you're a YouTube star. Do the audiences know you're Canadian? Like, is that, it doesn't really,
I like, think it's, yeah, yeah, I think it's a, like, people always like make jokes about like, mm-hmm. like, I wish Canada was real and stuff. That's what they always, so they always tweet at me and stuff. But, yeah, I think it's like a thing that people know that mm-hmm. that I'm Canadian. So
when you're, writing a bit, this is kind of a weird question, but how much do you think about your audience? Cause when I was at the show last night, which was unbelievable, by the way, and you did joke or that kind of bummed me out because you were like you were like, hey guys, I'm 29, and then the audience let out a sigh like
such an interesting moment,
like for me gasped. Being 40 in that audience watching that everyone gasps. I was just like, man, I'm the oldest guy here, like I'm really old. They think 29 is old. So it's just one, like, do you think about the age of your audience, and are you worried about potentially alienating them if you go a certain way that's maybe
right
like an older age or?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really think about that too much when I was writing my stuff. Cause I feel like when I'm writing, it's pretty much, I like to think the stand-up isn't that far off from like my videos, really. Like the sense of the style of comedy and like the jokes that I make is pretty similar to the videos that I make. So it's like, I'm just, and they already like the videos. I know that because they're like buying tickets. So it's like, if I just do what I'm doing, then I feel like they're going to be okay with it. Right. But yeah, that always sucks. Cause that always happens whenever I say my age and they always gasp, which just does not feel good.
It's an effective bit though, because then it gets you into the next part of sort of the joke construct that you have.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
The okay, we're gonna get to a Q&A in a minute, but I saw you post Tony Hawk the other day.
Yeah,
which was huge.
Yeah, that shit was fucking crazy. What, yeah.
Any other good ones lately? Because Tony Hawk's like his daughter's a big fan, and he was so thrilled to make the connection. What any other unexpected connections?
Oh man, I don't know. I feel like Tony was the big one. That one was fucking crazy. For those of you who don't know, I made a video about Tony Hawk. It's like his old movie he made in 2006. It was like really bad. And I made a video about like, just like making fun of it. And then Tony Hawk's kid saw it because they watched my videos, I guess, and then told Tony. And then Tony fucking like posted a picture of like a thing from the movie and like tagged me in it. I was losing my fucking mind. Cause that's like God. That's like if God tagged you in an Instagram picture. So I was losing my fucking mind. But I feel like Tony Hawk's definitely one where I was like, that's not even like, to me, that wasn't even like an attainable, to me, he's not even real, you know?
That's
like,
so cool.
Yeah. Cause he's also crazy. That's probably like the number one.
If you could be in a movie and you could pick your co-star, who would it be?
Oh, whoa.
You can't say Dean.
he's already left.
Okay. Yeah. Tony Hawk.
Hey. Buddy comedy?
Yeah. Or, yeah, maybe like a really gritty, not a comedy, very gritty detective.
It's like Seven.
Yeah.
You could play the Jareth character.
Yeah.
Wait, well, let's get some resolution on that. Whatever became of Jareth.
I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
He changed his name to Elon Musk.
Yeah. He actually, the last time I saw, he was like hosting like religious like retreats. So
interesting.
He had some calling.
Maybe he was trying to recruit you like back in the day.
Yeah. And it worked.
Have you heard the good word? Yeah. Sweet. Well, do you want to do some audience?
Yeah. I hope you guys all came prepared. Each person in the audience has to ask one question. Mm. That's sort of the way it goes here, just for laughs. Okay, we have a gentleman. What's your name? Jonathan. Okay, go ahead. Oh, we actually have a microphone that we're going to grab.
Oh, look at that, because we need it for the podcast recording so that you show up on the pod.
COVID is such a stressful subject, but you talk about a lot in your stand-up, like, but it's such a hectic, like, triggering thing. Like, what made you want to incorporate it into your act so much? Like, what was that thought process like?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, it was like so long without touring that we were like, it sucked because we were really like ramping it up too, like right when COVID was like really, really starting up. So it was like during all of COVID, I was like, just like, fuck, I just want to go out there and do shows. So like when COVID was finally done, it felt weird to not talk about it, especially with like how much it changed everything. So it was like, I feel like I need to address it in a way. But then it sort of turned into like it ended up being like sort of a through line through like the entire set, which sort of kind of helped out in a way into like to bring everything together sort of. But yeah, I feel like it would have been weird if I, like after all that, I walked back on stage and was like, so what's new? You guys ever fart or something? Thanks, man.
All right, who else do we got?
Anybody else?
Guys, we need at least two more questions.
Right. Let's go.
Okay, here we go. Thank you. What is your name?
Into the mic.
It's Matt.
Okay. Hi, Matt.
Let's go. Good
Matt.
What's up, guys? Hey, Matt. Curtis, to this weekend or recently, have you seen any like smaller comics or people that don't have like haven't blown up yet that you're noticing? You're like, man, this person, this woman, this guy, I'm a big fan of. I can't wait to see them do some good stuff.
Oh, damn.
Or big dogs too, because there's even some of the big dogs I've never seen.
Max,
actually,
it's not your question.
Sorry.
I feel like I'm like so out of the loop with shit. I feel like I don't really like, and I feel like I should know of more, up and comers. But
what about the big dogs?
The big dogs?
Yeah.
I mean, I walked by Mark Norman last night. And I like wanted to pass out because he's like super fucking funny. And there's like so many people here that are just like, that you see in like podcasts and you like watch their specials and you just like walk by them. And I was like, to me, I feel like I've like tricked my way here. Like I'm not supposed to be here. So I feel like I can't like just go up and like talk to them, but no, everyone's doing great. Everyone's so great.
It's interesting. The idea of being like a fan, cause we all start out as fans of people or whatever, you know, they are. How do you act in those situations? You just stay quiet and keep it moving, or will you go up to someone and be like, hey, I'm a really big fan and I love your stuff?
Like, yeah, I usually just like freeze up and I don't talk to them because I don't
move.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
What's your line? It's like they say, don't meet your heroes.
Oh, my hero shouldn't meet me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But are you like Max that you want them to kind of recognize you?
Like, yeah. Yeah, I want them to recognize Max when they talk to me. I was at a coffee shop in Philly, and there's like this skateboarder named Shane O'Neill. He's like one of my favorites, and he was just in line for a coffee, and my heart was beating so fast. And he didn't even look at me, but I just saw him and my heart started like, I thought I was going to pass out for this fucking skateboarder. So I was like, yeah, I just can't. I don't know. There's something's wrong with me, man. I don't know. I gotta. But if someone's like introduces me, then I can chop it up, no problem. Mm-hmm. But it's that first thing of being like, mm-hmm. "Hello, yeah, I'm also tough. A comedian." It's so weird. Yeah.
How are you with that? Will you offer praise? Like if you see somebody, like will you start with, like let's say you ran into Paul McCartney, would you do the thing that everybody says? Like
Paul?
I love, yeah, like would you treat
Hey Jude,
him,
pretty good.
Yeah. Or would you do you open with the thing that everyone opens with? It's like, I'm a huge fan, you changed
yeah,
my life.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like what's right. your entry point? Because you want to distinguish yourself a little bit
exactly.
from the common. Yeah,
do you play you, cool as one?
You got to like nag them, right? Like mm-hmm. insult them so they make them like you more. Hey Jude was dog shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot take.
Overrated.
Yeah. Sergeant Pooper.
I like this guy. That's my bad. Paul.
Is that the name Sergeant Pepper? Is that the name of the Beatles?
You
name?
Got it. Yeah. Nailed it.
I know.
Sergeant Pooper. Good
yeah,
job.
Sergeant Pooper.
The name of this episode is Sergeant Pooper.
Sergeant Pooper.
Sergeant
Pooper.
Okay. Yeah, Sergeant Pooper with Curtis Connor. Last question. We need one final good one.
We need one.
Oh, one in the back.
Let's go.
Hi, I'm Yara.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. So, Curtis, I used to watch your videos. I don't
used
have time.
To.
I don't have time anymore. That's
okay.
Why. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Got to shorten those videos.
So what are you doing here then? You're at a live taping of a podcast.
You got time
I'm
to come
actually
here.
Working right now.
Thursday afternoon. Yeah. Okay, you're working. Okay, cool.
No, I'm not working. It's just okay. So, I've seen your comedy kind of evolve. And
have
I also
you?
Yes.
haven't seen it lately.
I mean,
no, I'm kidding.
And I also noticed like the haircut.
Okay.
Right?
Is that why you stopped watching?
Part of, yeah, no. So I feel like it kind of, well, I don't know. My question is,
yep.
is it like part of your like persona, like a part of your comedy, your haircut, or is it like no.
This so is asking, me talking to Paul McCartney. Yeah. So Paul,
asking,
your haircut.
So you're asking if I'm looking stupid for a
yeah.
like
no.
is that your opener?
For the
yeah.
bit, yeah.
No, I just feel like it kind of you know, it shows your inside, you know, like
yeah. Yeah. No, that is I get it. I feel like I think it lends itself to some silliness, right? Some getting a little goofy. Because if I just had like a, if I like wore a suit in all my videos and had like a, like an old timey haircut or like a bowler hat or something, you know, it'd be weird, right? So I got to be, I don't know. I think I look all right.
God. No, you do.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you. And on that note, you do. You look fine. Don't
Thanks,
let her,
guys.
Are you ruined
thank
right
you.
Now?
Yeah. Thank you for the question.
Yeah. Thank you so much to everyone who came out. Thank you to Acast for having us. Thank you to Just for Laughs. This festival is the best. It's a real honor to be here. On behalf of Shaney, Max, yeah. myself, Curtis. Thank you,
Curtis,
for coming
out.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thank
right.
you. Thanks for
thank
coming.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
This is a great thing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.